We're so glad you're joining us online as we start into our message this morning. Thank you for joining us. Make sure you put a message in whatever format you're watching in, whatever, whether it's YouTube, Facebook, or our online platform. Please let us know what you're watching. We'd love to connect with you. And we are on this journey. If you have been here a few weeks, Pastor Ryan gave us a message last week. But we've been in a series in 1 Peter, just talking about what it is like to live as a Christian in a non-Christian world. What does that look like? And how can we live better? And that's kind of where we've been. And it's just been this entire journey into 1 Peter. Now, some of you, and I'm so glad you've been doing this, you've been joining us as we've been doing Bible readings every week. Because isn't it helpful? Isn't it helpful to get in the Word every day and be encouraged and then say, okay, what did I learn? When I ask questions, how did I learn that? And how did that do for me? And so there's this whole idea of reading together and being able to talk about it together that's so helpful. We start one every week. It starts on Monday. I send out the invitations on Sunday. You can go into the Bible app and you can just send me a request. And, you know, we'd love for you to join us and in our reading. So here's what we've said so far about Peter, just a little review, that his name was Simon and Jesus changed it later to Peter. He was a fisherman in a city called Capernaum. He was the denier of Christ. That's kind of what he's famous for before the resurrection. After the resurrection, he is the leader of the early church and he ultimately dies as a martyr. So last time we were in 1 Peter, We had this whole question about honesty and really helping us understand the truth about our faith and just asking, how is our faith doing in this incredible time? And what do we say? That following Jesus requires honesty about what? How is our faith? Don't lie about it. Don't deceive yourself. And then I just gave you the statement that I learned a couple years ago, and it's really been helpful to me. I will not lie to myself, even when the truth makes me feel bad about myself. Don't lie to yourself. You are not helping yourself. You are not helping anybody else. So here's the question I have for you today. And I don't know, as I'm reading through 1 Peter, I'm just finding questions that are good for me to ask and answer. And I just want to invite you into this passage with this question. And here it is. Do you know how much God loves you? Do you know how much God loves you? Maybe you've thought about this before. Maybe you've never thought about this before. Then I am so glad you're watching, because this should be a question everybody asks and answers. Do you know how much God loves you? Do you know to the extent of which God loves you? And so in the last part of 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter makes an incredible statement because he wants us to know this. But it's kind of in the middle of where we're going to be looking at today. But I think we need to start with it. And it says this. You know, right? He's asking his audience, you already know this. You know that from your empty way of life, inherited from your ancestors, you were ransomed. In other words, God purchased and bought you out of that. He paid for you to be able to leave that life. He paid, not by perishable things like gold or silver. God didn't have there wasn't a price tag of you owe me this much silver and this much gold. That's how they operated in their days. We operate by currency, money, okay? It wasn't like we have $1 million on our head. It's different than that. Look what he says. It wasn't about perishable things like gold, silver, currency. You were ransomed. What God did was purchase you by the precious blood, like that of an unblemished and spotless lamb, namely Christ. In other words, God gave up what was most valuable to him in order that you and I could be ransomed. And he says, do you know how much you're loved? You were ransomed, and God paid an incredibly high value for you, because God says you're valuable. He says you're worth it. You were worth the sacrifice of his son in order to redeem you and ransom you. God gave what was most precious to him to redeem us. God gave what was most valuable to him in order to ransom and redeem us. And so this is right in the middle of a passage, but it's like Peter saying, do you know how much you're loved? Do you know how much your heavenly Father loves you? And if you don't, today you're going to be able to learn that. And if you're following Jesus, we, as followers of Jesus, we have to be reminded of this because it causes us to live differently. We live differently when we know how much we are loved. So let's back up and see where he starts. Therefore, get your minds ready for action, right? This is a life. Following Jesus is a life of action. By being fully sober, set your hope completely on the grace that will be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. All in on the hope of what Jesus has promised us and that he proved that with his resurrection. Like obedient children, he's going to remind us of some things. Do not comply with the evil urges you used to follow in your ignorance. Now, I know when you see this, you're like, oh, here it comes. The list. Right? The list. You know what the list is? The list is all the things you can't do. Oh, if I become a Christian, I can't do this and I can't do that. Here comes the list. Okay. Come on, Ed, give me the list. You'll notice there's no list. There's no list. He just says, the evil urges you used to follow in your ignorance. He's not going to give us a list. But like the Holy One who called you, become holy yourselves in all of your conduct, the way you live your life. And it just simply means set apart, be different. For it is written, you should be holy because I am holy. God says, I'm different. I'm set apart. I don't do things the way everybody else does them. And I'm going to invite you into that life. So I know what you're thinking. Where's the list? No, he's not going to give us a list. He's going to call us to say, do you know how much you're loved? And invite us to live a different kind of life, a better type of life. Remember what he said in the beginning? Our life was an empty life. And we come to Jesus and that life is full and abundant. John 10:10, Jesus says, I've come that they may have life and have it abundantly. And if you address this Father, the one who impartially judges to each one's works, live out the time of your temporary residence here in reverence. Remember, this is what he urged us in one of those first 2 weeks. He urged us, do you understand this is temporary? Do you understand it doesn't last forever? It doesn't go on forever. It's all temporary. So how are you going to live this temporary life? He says, you ought to live it in reverence. Why? Because you address his Father, the one who gets to judge everything. The one who at the end gets to judge everything. You get to call him Father. Why? Because he has invited you into his family. And if you're watching, you don't understand that. That is why Jesus went to a cross to pay the price for our sins. So we would be invited into his family. He says, live out your time in reverence. Just respect the way that God has invited us to live. Because we don't obey to receive love. We obey in response to the love that is shown us. So this is why when God says, hey, this is the way I want you to live. And I know you're thinking, okay, where's the list? But we don't obey to receive love. I don't obey to receive love. I don't read scripture where it urges me to forgive and say, oh, well, God's not going to love me if I don't forgive. So I better forgive so I receive that love. I have already received the full extent of his love. And he invites me. And I want to invite you into a full life, an abundant life, and that life is about forgiveness. I obey in response to the love. That's how we should obey, in response to the love that was shown to us. He continues, you know, here's our verse again, from the empty way of life you inherited. That way's empty. Don't live that way anymore. You were ransomed, right? Not by perishable things, but by the precious blood like that of an unblemished and spotless lamb, namely Christ. He continues. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for your sake. So in the time they were living, Jesus had come. He had raised from the dead. And he says, you understand, he was from the beginning, but he came now in order to ransom and redeem and save us. Through him, you now trust in God. Who did what? Raised him from the dead. There's another reminder that the resurrection is what changes everything. The resurrection is the foundation of our faith because it reminds us that Jesus was different from everybody else. Nobody conquers the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. He's raised from the dead and gave him glory such as your faith and hope are in God. That's where our faith and hope is. Why? Because Jesus is alive. You have purified your souls by obeying the truth. in order to show sincere mutual love. So now he invites us to do what? So love one another earnestly from a pure heart. So love one another. You've been loved, so love one another. I think our problem is we don't understand this concept. Well, we're invited to love one another because it's been so twisted that somehow to love somebody else, I just affirm everything they're doing wrong because after all, I love them. Is that what God does here? No. He says, what? You were ransomed, you're redeemed. I loved you, I purchased you, and now I'm inviting you into a new way of life. He doesn't leave us there. He doesn't leave us in that life. He invites us into a new life. And then he invites us to love one another. Love one another. Do you understand how so different it would be if we could just figure this out? If we could figure this out with other Christ followers and love them, oh my goodness, how different our churches would be. But then if we could take that and we could show that love to others, oh my, we'd change the world. We would absolutely change the world because we would not just affirm whatever they're doing, but we would invite them into a love that changes everything about their life. So he continues. You have been born anew, but not from perishable, right? Here's this thing again, but from imperishable seed through the living and enduring word of God. God has redeemed us. We've been born anew. For all flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. So there's things that are temporary. But you have the opportunity in Jesus to find life that is eternal. And isn't this what we need right now? A reminder that life is eternal, that I don't have to fear death because Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. I need that reminder right now, and maybe you need that reminder as well. And this is the word that was proclaimed to you, Peter says. That's the word that was proclaimed to you, a reminder that you are deeply loved by your Heavenly Father, and you have an opportunity to respond to that love. Now, here's what I think happens when we know this. Based on what we just read through in 1 Peter, I think something happens when we know we are loved. And when we don't know we're loved, we're going to struggle with these two things. We're going to struggle with these two things. In fact, next week, Peter's going to talk so much about identity because he wants us to understand who we are. But when we know we are loved, something happens. And I need for you to see this. When we know we are loved, we live differently. We live differently. This is what we've been called to, that whole thing. Well, where's the list? Well, sometimes Scripture gives lists. Sometimes it invites us into forgiving. Yeah, and sometimes I'll just watch as my wife is watching, one of the shows, one of the sitcoms she's watching, and the main character is struggling with forgiveness. And they're having conversations like, I don't know how I can forgive them. They stole from me. They took my identity. Or they hurt me, and I don't think I can forgive them. And I'm just fascinated with this because in all of these discussions is nothing about Jesus. Because I don't think you can forgive without Jesus. Now, what do I mean by that? You can't give what you haven't received. And when you understand how much you are loved, you live differently and we're able to forgive. Why? Because we understand God forgave us. God forgave us. And he gave up what was most valuable to him in order to redeem us and save us and to forgive us. Well, why couldn't we forgive somebody else then? Why couldn't I forgive knowing that Jesus has forgiven me? But if I don't know that and I haven't experienced that forgiveness, it's really hard to forgive. It's just about impossible. Why? Because you've never experienced it. We live differently. We live differently. I'm not going to give you a list today. I know, right? You want a list. Stop thinking about a list and start following Jesus and watch him shape and change you. Watch him call you out of the empty way of life that you've been living. And watch what he wants to do in and through you. You will end up living differently. I just promise you, you will end up living differently. You will. If you follow Jesus. Because that's what he says. You have to know you're loved. And when you know that, you live differently. And let me tell you, I think it's so important in this time, especially during this time, that we live differently. I just have a heart every time I watch the latest stats. The latest stats the other day were like 65 to 69% of millennials, if you're part of the millennial generation, are that percentage of that generation is afraid that the virus will kill them. And the percentage of that generation that has been killed by this virus is like 1%, less than 1%. And it's like, what happened? This is why we have to live differently. That means if you're following Jesus, we get invited to live differently, especially in pandemics, when fear is just being peddled constantly. It's just being peddled constantly. And if that's what you're inviting into your life, that's what's going to end up coming out of your life. And I'm telling you, it's really important we live differently right now. So if you're a millennial, I'm just going to invite you to follow Jesus and find your hope in him. And as you're following him, see if that doesn't help with the fear you're experiencing right now. I know we've never been through anything like this. I've never been through anything like this. And part of it's understanding, okay, how do I live differently in light of everything going on? I also think we need to love differently. We need to love differently. And that means we welcome people. I'm amazed at what people will do if they know the group they're in accepts them. Just accepts them. You're part of our group. Oh, they will do anything. They will change the color of their hair, the style of their hair. They will do almost anything to be part of that group. They will change all sorts of things about themselves. Why? Because that group said, come here. We love you. We accept you. You're welcome here. Oh, if we could do that. Do you know the power that would have if we could do that? If we could be accepting of people and all their quirks, and if we would just invite them in and let the love of Jesus transform them. Oh my goodness, it would change everything. But you know what we want to do first? We want to change them first into the way we think they ought to be and then invite them in. No. That's not inviting them into the way of following Jesus. We invite in and then we let Jesus do this incredible work in and through them. That's what we need to do. And we've lost this. We've lost all this influence because we aren't willing to just accept people where they are, let Jesus transform them, and see what he does in their life. We have the checklist. We want you to change all this stuff first. No, Jesus doesn't work that way. Jesus works from the inside out, and he changes everything. And so what will it look like if we just love differently and we accepted people where they were and we invited them into this relationship with Jesus and we watched Jesus change that so that your greatest acceptance wasn't from a group, that you had to change this feature or that feature, but you let Jesus change everything because we just invite you to be a part of following Jesus and a part of a group of people who none of us are perfect. We're all works in progress, but we long to see progress in ourselves and in this work that Jesus is doing. We respond to God, not out of duty or fear, but out of the great love he has shown for us. This is huge. If we could just do this, this would be huge. That we respond to God, that when we're reading, and scripture tells us forgive. And we go back to that situation. I'm like, oh, I want to forgive them. That really hurts. You don't understand the change it made in my life. You don't understand what it did to me. So now I'm challenged. It tells me to forgive. Can I forgive? Okay. How am I going to respond to God? Not out of duty. Well, I get redeemed. I guess I have to. Right? No. Not out of duty or fear. that's even worse. Do this or you go to hell. Why do we always have to put that in there? Do this or go to hell. Do that or go to hell. We have this huge list. Do this, or go to hell. Why? Because we're trying to motivate people out of fear. Forget that. Terrible motivator. We don't do it out of duty. We don't do it fear. Out of the great love he has shown us, when we understand that he gave up what was most valuable to him in order to redeem and ransom us, that's why we respond to God. That's why when he says forgive, we forgive. That's why when he says leave this way of life, we leave it. That's when he says have a different thinking about things like marriage and sexuality. Have a different way to think than what you're watching. Have a different way to think about all sorts of issues. We respond out of what? Not duty, not fear, but because of this incredible love he has shown for us. If God thought it so valuable, that we were so valuable in order to offer up his son, certainly he must know a better way for us to live. A better way for us to live. That's not an empty way, but an abundant life that Jesus promised us. Do you know how much God loves you? That's where I want to end this morning. Do you know how much God loves you? Because if you don't, I'd love to tell you today how much you are loved. And maybe you've been following Jesus and you never got this. You were told, do everything. You better pray this prayer. You're going to hell. Right? You were told all these different things and you never got an idea that God loved you. You had an idea that God was mad at you, that God was angry at you, and you better start reading your Bible and you better start coming to church and you better start doing all these things so that you don't end up in hell. That's not how God has responded to us out of fear. He's responded to us out of love. And that's why I ask you, do you know how much God loves you? Do you know how much God loves you? Because I think if you knew how much God loves you, it would change everything about the way that you live. It would change everything. You would be just amazed at how it would transform every part of your life because you knew you were loved. And that when you bumped up against something in Scripture and the Holy Spirit saying, yeah, you need to follow this, you wouldn't push back. Okay, God loves me. He wants what's best for me. He gave up what was most valuable to him for me. He must have a plan and purpose in all this. I'm going to follow him. Following Jesus is an invitation to live being loved and loving others. It's an invitation to live being loved and living in that I'm ransomed, I'm redeemed, I am a child of God. It's an incredible invitation. So I'd like to invite you into this. If you've been following Jesus and you followed Jesus for all the wrong reasons, this is the day to follow Jesus because of what he has done for you. That there is no other way. And he invites us into this. And he laid down everything for you and me. And if you've never, then I would love for you to consider following Jesus today. And just finding the love that will forgive us of everything that we have done against God and invite us into a brand new life that is an abundant life. A life, as we call around here, a life that is all about thriving. That's what it's about. That's what Jesus has called us to. So let me pray for you today. Let me pray for you if you are struggling with this whole thing of knowing you are loved because you didn't grow up that way and that hasn't been your experience. You were told God was angry at you and mad at you, so you better pray this prayer to stay out of hell. And you better do all these things so that you don't go to hell. And if you've never understood that God loved you, and you would, today would be great. And if you've been following Jesus, this is why we live differently and we love differently, because Jesus loved us first. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for those. I pray for those who have been confused in their life that they are loved. They've been confused because they weren't told that message. They were shown something, or they were told that you were angry and you were mad, and if they didn't pray this prayer, they were going to hell. And they never knew that everything that motivated you was out of your incredible and great love for us. And I pray this truth would transform their life today, and that they would welcome the love of their Heavenly Father, who paid everything to demonstrate and carry out that love. And I pray for those who are far from you, and again, have not understood how much you love them, that you paid everything for them. And maybe today is day one of them following you and starting that journey of just welcoming you into their life to experience the great love that you have for them. Because you don't force yourself on anyone. Everyone has a choice. And then, Father, I want to pray for those Christ followers who we haven't been living like we're loved. We've been living out of duty. We've been living out of fear. We have not been living like we're loved. Because I believe it would change everything. We would give up some of the ways that we've been living, because we know you have such a better plan for us. So thank you for redeeming us and saving us and rescuing us and loving us and demonstrating that for us. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So glad you joined us today. If you want to know more, follow along with us. Send us a comment. We would love to pray with you. We would love to help you. We would love to encourage you as you begin to follow Jesus. Join us next week. We will continue our series in 1 Peter.